Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. Amen. Stand firm. Do those words bring any mental pictures into your mind? Maybe you might think about a war movie where the battle lines are drawn and the commanding officer is pacing up and down in front of the line, encouraging his men and telling them to stand firm in the upcoming battle against the enemy. Or you might picture a lighthouse near the sea, battered by towering waves and wind, yet unaffected because of its solid construction. Both of those can be very valid pictures to describe how God enables Christians to stand firm in our faith. But the idea that we have before us in our sermon text today is a little bit different. When Paul tells us to stand firm, he doesn't mean for us to dig a foxhole in the ground and to wait out the danger, or to bury our heads in the sand like an ostrich and to pretend that the danger just isn't out there. Rather, when Paul tells us to stand firm spiritually, he means that we should always be in motion, fleeing from the bad and pursuing the good. So stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Beware of the path that leads to destruction. Continue in the way that leads to glory. In his letter to the Christians at Philippi, Paul encourages them not to boast in themselves, but to imitate Christ and to press on toward the goal of heaven. Paul says in our reading, "Brothers, join together in imitating me and in paying attention to those who are walking according to the pattern we gave you." By telling them to imitate me, Paul is not implying that he is perfect or that they should copy everything that he has done. But the example that he wants them to follow is the example of faith, of believing in God's promises and of living for God, of striving forward and pressing on toward the goal of heaven. He also wants them to look at the other believers around them who are living according to the pattern we gave you. That is, living by faith in God and according to God's will. There is a special sense of urgency in Paul's exhortations here. Paul knew that there were many who had fallen away, many who were not following the pattern of faith and godliness anymore. Paul says in verse 18, "To be sure, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. I told you about them often, and now I am saying it while weeping." This is a very serious matter. In the middle of this letter that is often referred to as the Epistle of Joy, the Apostle Paul here is weeping. Why is he so emotional? If we look closely again at those words, we will find out. "Many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. I told you about them often." This was a warning that Paul had repeated to the Philippian Christians again and again. But apparently some of them just weren't listening to this warning. Paul was not warning them simply to watch out for attacks from their enemies. Paul was warning them that if they weren't careful, they themselves could become enemies of Christ. As Paul made this warning again here in this letter, he was probably thinking about all of the people that he knew who had disregarded his previous warnings and then had subsequently fallen away from faith in Jesus as the Savior. And as a result, they were now living as enemies of the cross of Christ. They were people that Paul had instructed himself in the gospel. Paul had seen them grow in faith and join the body of believers. Paul had once considered them as his sons and daughters in the faith, his brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers in the faith. But now he could only weep for them because they had fallen away. Paul warns the Christians at Philippi so that they will not follow in that same way and suffer that same end. Of those who had fallen away, Paul says, their end is destruction. Their God is their appetite, and their glory is in their shame. They are thinking only about earthly things. These people were clearly not living according to Paul's example or the pattern of faith that Paul had preached to them. Instead, their God is their appetite. Now, this doesn't mean that their sin was necessarily one of eating or drinking too much, though that certainly may have been a part of it. Rather, these people were committing idolatry by putting themselves and their own desires ahead of what God wanted, what he desired. They knew what God had commanded them in his law, but they purposely ignored his will and followed their own desires instead. Their glory is in their shame, Paul writes. Instead of being ashamed of their sin, they were proud of it. They are thinking only about earthly things. Instead of focusing on Christ and on the goal of heaven, they were focused on the things of this life and this world. And so their destiny, Paul says, is not eternal life, but destruction. Eternal destruction in the fires of hell. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this warning is for us also. Lest we follow down that same path, we must take a good hard look at ourselves and confess those sins that could lead us also to destruction. In today's society, we are often told, you just have to be true to yourself and to what you feel. The world tells us that we ourselves are the only ones who can decide for ourselves what is right and wrong for us. And that God's will laid out for us in the Bible doesn't really apply to people today anymore. Do we perhaps sometimes start to think in that same way? God, I know that you tell me only to think about whatever is pure and noble and lovely. And I know that it's wrong to watch those shows and movies that have foul language and sexual scenes and lewd jokes, but I just think that it's not such a bad thing. I mean, it's not like I'm going to go out and do all of those same things. Or perhaps there's some other issue in your life in which you exalt your will over God's will. Do you glory in your shame? Do you take pride in the sinful things that you have done? Do you joke about that time back in college or back in high school or last weekend when you did some shameful thing? Do you pride yourself in how accepting you are of other people when in fact sometimes your open acceptance may actually be showing tolerance to sin and failing to rebuke wrongdoing? Is God the top priority in your life? Or do you put other earthly concerns ahead of him, like family, career, house, car, sports, entertainment, hobbies? Brothers and sisters, do not take Paul's words lightly. Beware the path that ends in destruction. Listen as God tells you to stand firm in the Lord and continue in the way that leads to glory. Paul makes a sharp contrast between those who have fallen away and us whom the Lord has preserved in faith. Paul says, they are thinking only about earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. What does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? Well, the people of Philippi certainly understood that concept very well, because most of them were Roman citizens. Philippi was a Roman colony in Macedonia, north of Greece, hundreds of miles away from the city of Rome itself. But despite the distance, The Roman citizens of Philippi considered Rome to be their true country. Rome was their place of permanent residence. So even though they lived in the city of Philippi, they weren't about to call themselves citizens of Philippi. No, they were Roman citizens, and they were proud of it. And so they understood what Paul meant when he said, "Our citizenship is in heaven." He meant that this earthly life is just a temporary existence. We will not live here forever. Rather, we are citizens of heaven, and that is our place of permanent residence. And even now, right now, we are full citizens of heaven, not because of anything we have done, but only because of Christ and his blood, which he shed for us willingly upon the cross in payment for our sins. The death and resurrection of Jesus has sealed that forgiveness for us. Sin no longer has power over us, and the world can no longer claim us as its own. Those sins that once threatened to lead us down the path to destruction can no longer plague us or control us, because Christ has removed them. God has forgiven us for elevating our will over his will, and for taking pride in our shameful actions. And although we are still in this world, we now belong only to Jesus, and our minds, by his grace, are now fixed on heavenly things. Paul illustrates this fact beautifully in his letter to the Ephesians when he writes, "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms." This is our present reality. We are alive with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms, even though we can't yet comprehend that, and even though we don't yet fully realize that truth. And although our salvation has been achieved, there is still something for us to look forward to. As Paul writes, "Our citizenship is in heaven. We are eagerly waiting for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power that enables him to subject all things to himself, he will transform our humble bodies to be like his glorious body." As we live here on earth, we look forward to the day when Christ will return in glory to judge the living and the dead. On that day, he will completely change our bodies to get rid of all pain and imperfection and sin. He will make us like him, glorious and perfect. And Paul concludes, "So then, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way, keep standing firm in the Lord, my dear friends." Stand firm by remembering the truths of salvation, the truth that we have been redeemed and we will be perfected on the last day. But when we stand firm, remember that we are not just standing in one place. We are walking, working, living, fighting the good fight, running the race of faith. That is why Paul said, "Join together in imitating me and in paying attention to those who are walking according to the pattern we gave you." We stand firm by following in the pattern of Paul and the other apostles, the pattern of faith in God and in his promises, the pattern of living according to God's will, with our focus always on the goal of heaven. And to spur us on along that path that leads to glory, Paul encourages us to look for others around us who are living according to that same pattern of faith and to join with them, just as we are doing right now here in this church. We gather together to hear and proclaim God's word, to strengthen and encourage each other in faith, and to spur each other on toward good works in our lives. We know what our destiny is. We have been forgiven in Christ, and we are no longer destined for destruction. Rather, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Beware the path that ends in destruction. Continue in the way that leads to glory. Amen.